Daniel Webster. What do we know him for? Webster's Dictionary. Quite a gifted gentleman. Was among some of his literary companions one time in his lifetime. And they asked him, they said, if he really comprehended how it was that Jesus could be both God and man. And his answer was, well, absolutely not. In the very fact, he said, I would be ashamed to call him my God if I really understood that. Because understanding who I am and my sin in such a sense of that, if I understood it, that means that I could probably save myself. And if I could save myself, he wouldn't be God. And how true that is. You know, if we can comprehend, because the few verses that we're going to look at this morning are those verses in John where it says, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We went through these verses months and months ago when we were going through the book of John earlier this year, which probably you have forgotten by now, but it's not the same thing that we're looking at, but that verse, and that's exactly what it is. And by the way, as far as information goes, I forgot to mention a moment ago, if some of y'all, especially if you come to this service, y'all know Mr. Steve Humphrey that sat over here on the right that had a walker for the last few months. He passed away Thursday morning, and his funeral is this afternoon at 3 o'clock up at Fair Haven on Hartley Bridge Road. So just remember that family and remember me, because I don't know if you know but his wife is Jewish, and so she's asking her rabbi to take part in it as well. And I'm going to share the gospel, so just pray for me, because, you know, she's been to our church before, and she knows what we're about, and, you know, I'm not going to offend anyone, but, you know, they don't see Jesus the way we do, and it's Christmas time. You cannot pass up the opportunity to talk about how God came in the flesh. So just remember me, remember the family, and all that they're dealing with as they finish what they can do for Mr. Steve this afternoon, okay? But just remember that. I don't know if you didn't know that. He passed away Thursday morning. But let's look at that. And John says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And we're going to back up back and forth real quick. We're going to go back and see where this first concept started back in Exodus whenever God told his people that he was going to, that when he gave them the directions in Exodus to build a tabernacle, because he says, I want to dwell among my people. So when Jesus comes along and he says this, it's really not a new concept, but too many of the Jewish people who don't believe in Christ, they didn't see that. They missed that. That's exactly the same thing that was used. I read where William Jennings Bryan once was, if y'all know who he was, quite a politician and an intellectual, I guess you would say. But one day he was eating a watermelon and just started contemplating. And what he looked at, you know, as he was eating it, all the seeds, and what he decided to do was take one out, kept it out, dried it, weighed it. And he said, it looks like it would take about 5,000 seeds, watermelon seeds dry, to equal a pound. And he did a little mathematics, and he said, you know, how would that work? You know, what would it take to convert all of that to a 40-pound watermelon? Because he says what it would take was, it would take a one little seed to multiply itself like 200,000 times to equal 40 pounds. So he started looking at it, and he says, how does that work? You know, how does this little seed, it's dry, it put it in some warm, wet ground, it turns into a watermelon, it feeds through a little stem, somehow it turns the outside green, then a white layer on the inside, and red sweetness on the inside, and all those seeds that can reproduce itself how many times? He says, where does its power come from? Where does the structure come from? How do it determine its color? And he went on to say, if you can figure that out, or when you can figure that out, then you can claim to tell me why God or why God doesn't do what he does. But until then, basically he said, you can't even figure that out. How are you going to figure out Almighty God? And especially at this time of year, there's people that are the so-called Christians that they don't believe that Jesus came as God in the flesh. They don't believe the virgin birth. They don't believe he was God. They just believe he was a prophet. And, you know, that's not true according to the scripture. And that's exactly what we want to look at. The word became flesh. That means the word became a human being. You know, that's what that means. It is what Christians mean when they speak of the incarnation. Literally, what it means is enfleshing, that God came in flesh. And that's exactly what that is. There is a theological concept that's out there, because there's two groups of people always been there, but one of them believes, it's called compatibilism, and here's what this says. You know, one group says, oh yeah, God is sovereign, in control of everything, and really you don't have any choice. And then the other side says, oh yeah, God is absolutely sovereign, in control of everything, but man is a free agent and responsible. And it's kind of a battle that goes back and forth. And taking back to what we just saw in both of those situations, you know, that is something outside that is kind of beyond our understanding. So, you know, we see examples of it. Matter of fact, Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? What did it say? You remember that key verse in chapter 50 of Genesis? Remember what he said when he's standing before his brothers and they think he's going to kill him because of what they did to him? They sold him into slavery, ended up in Pharaoh's court, and now he's the second in command, and they're standing there in front of him, and they think now that their father's dead that he's going to retaliate and kill them. And he says, you intended it for evil, human responsibility, but God turned it into something good. What does that mean? Did he know what the brothers are going to do? Absolutely. Did he make them do it? No, he didn't. But it says God moves through all of our choices. So there's this part that we don't understand, how God is absolutely sovereign in everything and knows what's going to happen, but we have some human responsibility and freedom that we choose. And God works through those things. And that's one of those mysteries that Paul talked about, just like this. You know, when you begin to look at this and you say, well, I don't understand, you're never going to understand that. You either believe it or you don't. A lot of people choose not to believe it. But this is exactly what it means, that God came. Basically, you could say this was the day God was born physically. He was always in existence. It means something that he wasn't, in the fact that he was not in the flesh, but now he is. He already existed. He was God, his own agent in creation. But now he becomes God in a human form. And that's exactly what we see. In Exodus chapter 25, look what it says. When God's given the instructions for the tabernacle, you remember what the tabernacle was, right? It was the portable temple until the first temple was actually built. And it moved around with them through the 40 days of wandering. And this is what he started. He said, he told them everything they need to make. But look at this. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary, a holding place, that I may what? Dwell among them. And you know how it was, how God's Shekinah glory had hovered over the place, and Moses would have to go in, the high priest would have to go in and do exactly what God said, because that's where God was, in that Holy of Holies. He says, I want to dwell among my people. And it was there until the Shekinah glory left and the nation's sin, and it hasn't been back like that till Jesus came. And that's exactly what this comes from. In Sinai, the tabernacle was a place where what? Sinners met God, the great meeting place, as they went through his prescription to find a holy God that would meet with a rebellious man. And that's exactly what it was. Quickly, look at that. Jesus insists that he himself is the ultimate temple. How many times did he say that? Remember they questioned him in John chapter 2 when he says, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it back. Remember what they were talking about and what he was talking about? What was he talking about? His flesh. That's exactly what he meant. He says, I am it. I am that thing that God prescribed in the Old Testament where truly I would come as God in the flesh and dwell with sinful man. And they didn't receive it, just as they didn't receive God's instructions in the Old Testament. You know, that's why they had so much trouble. If rebels are going to be reconciled to this holy God, they must come to him by means of the temple. That's exactly what the tabernacle was. And now, Jesus is the tabernacle. He dwells among us. And that's just the fulfillment of Exodus chapter 33. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. You remember there when God's there and Moses says, God, I want to see you. He says, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And he couldn't see him, because what did he say? If you see me, what will happen to you? You'll die. No one can behold that. So God comes and veils himself in the flesh. So Christ performs his first miracle. You remember we studied it at Cana, and what happened when he turned the water into wine? It says disciples beheld his glory. What did that mean? For the first time, they really saw this is God. You know, this is what this means. They beheld his glory. They saw that this was a sign that signified that something about Jesus was they saw his glory. That's exactly what it was. And God said, Moses, you can't see me. So you see Jesus fulfilling everything that God had prescribed in Moses a long, long time ago. What did he say? He's full of grace and truth. What? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Love and faithfulness. Before Moses, who was hiding in that cave in Exodus 34, God describes himself in a variety of ways. Among them are the words in that very verse. It says what? Abounding in or full of love and faithfulness. Wow. What is that? In verse 6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. What? How does that translate? In Hebrew, this same pair of nouns are translated the same way. It's exactly the same thing that was said in Exodus with Moses is the very same thing John says about Jesus when he says he's full of grace and faithful and mercy and grace. And it's rendered grace and truth, which is exactly what John said. So when we see the Word became flesh, it's not a brand new idea. It's just God fulfilling what he promised to Moses that never really happened. It just came through a symbolic experience through the tabernacle. God displays himself not only as God who will punish sinners, but as the one who is full of grace and truth and one who forgives. Wow. That's exactly what Jesus showed. Quickly, Jesus gives grace and fulfills the law. What? For the law was given through Moses, which takes us back to that same in 32 and 34. But grace came through what? Jesus Christ. The gift of the law, Paul said, what? Was to a schoolmaster to show us what our real need was. It was to show us how bad we needed something other than a sacrificial animal to shed the blood for us. We needed a true sacrifice for us. And that's exactly what the law did. And that's exactly what he says Moses gives them, the law. Grace was not in the display of the glory to Moses in a cave, but in the display of Jesus and the bloody sacrifice that he made on the cross. You know, it's unfortunate that we miss too often that when it shows that God became man, all that was tied up in that, in the very sacrificial offering that he came to make for us. That's why he came in the flesh. It was a fulfillment, the cross, of the law and provided the way for Jesus to introduce a new covenant that was the ultimate grace and truth. That's exactly what the purpose was. Now, here's the most important part. No one has ever seen God. Isn't that what John said? Because Moses, we just heard that God said, Moses, if you look at me, you're dead. So no one has ever seen him. That is what God told him in chapter 33. You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. But now John adds this. But the one only Son, who is himself God, is in a closer relationship with the Father, has what? Made him known. What is that? How does that translate? If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. You know, and unfortunately, just speaking of that, because of that very nature today, most of the Jews, when you bring up the name of Jesus, boy, it is not good. You're talking about a reaction, and they didn't see it. Remember when Jesus said to Philippi, don't you know, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I've been so long with you, and you don't realize that? Or you're not paying attention? He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No one has ever seen God, and in God in all of his transcendent splendor, we cannot see him until that day whenever we see him face to face when all this is over. But the Word became flesh. He became a human being with the name of Jesus, and we can see him. If you were alive, you could see him. Do you want to know what the character of God is like? Just study what Jesus did on the earth. If that's what you want to know. If you want to know what holiness is like, just study what Jesus did. How did he live? Do you want to know what the wrath of God is like? Boy, Jesus shows us some of that as well. He's not all a little pansy that walked around and loved everybody. He did love everyone, but he was also shows his wrath. Do you want to know what forgiveness is like? Look at Jesus. If you want to know what the glory of God is like, follow Jesus all the way to the cross and you'll see that. Boy, you see glory. He became a human being with the name of Jesus. If you want to know anything about God, just study the life of Jesus and you'll see it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like Webster said, you know, if I understood all this, I'd be my own God. So guess what? We study and try to figure out as much as we can, but this is outside of us. We either believe it or we do not. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you do love us and that you give us the essential revelation that we need to know who you are and to trust you. And there's so many things beyond our comprehension that if we could not handle them at this point, if we did know them. Father, thank you that you protect us, you give us what we need, and that we can just trust you and trust you that you will fulfill what you said you would do for us, not only for our benefit, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.